And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 186 of Radio Free Asgard. This is Tom Harris. I am your host. And this week, of course, we are going to continue on where we left off last week. Yeah. And of course, we are covering the Hercules Prince of Power Omenid series from 1982. We actually have a comment, though, before we get started with our review. And this comes from Neil Stanifer over on Facebook. So as you may recall, the last episode we were talking a little bit about the female Thor, and you know, I have to admit to a little bit of cynicism maybe about this whole female Thor thing. It's obviously it's a gimmick. You know, I think they're hoping for it to increase sales. I'm really not. No, obviously, if they're waiting for it to increase sales, that's not actually working because the new issues are selling about half as much as Thor God of Thunder. But you know, I have to admit, I kind of have developed a little bit of an attitude about it. And to be fair, to be absolutely honest, I haven't actually sat down and read all of these issues. I've kind of breezed through them very, very quickly. But I really haven't sat down and read them. And we know that Jason Aaron is capable of telling a good story. The artwork actually, you know, looks pretty good. I mean, for the most part, the artwork is quite acceptable. And I can see that, you know, there's some good stuff going on as far as that. But again, you know, I have my doubts about the series. Now Neil disagrees. Neil had this to say over on our Facebook page. After listening to the most recent episode, I feel the need to defend the female Thor. I know she's just a placeholder, and I know female title characters can be poison for a book's sales. But I have really been enjoying these issues. There's a freshness to the character's outlook that I've been missing. She just loves having the chance to be a hero, and it shows. See especially her talk with the erstwhile Allmother about what it feels to be Thor in the most recent issue. This is obviously issue 5, which I haven't read yet. And Dauterman's handling of a fight scene is top-notch. I know it can't last, but I'm digging the hell out of this Thor and looking forward to each new issue in a way I haven't done for a while. That's coming from Neil. So once again, Neil, thanks very much for your input. We really do appreciate it. And of course, if you want to express your opinion the way Neil did, you can actually join us over on the Facebook group. Just look for us, Radio Free Asgard on Facebook, or indeed you can email the show at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. So, you know, we are going to be covering the female Thors eventually, and probably, you know, sooner rather than later in the not too distant future. There's a few other things I'd like to cover first, but we are going to be covering it. And once again, you know, like I said, I haven't really read these in depth, and I'm going to try to keep somewhat of an open mind while I'm, you know, covering these issues and trying to find good things to talk about as well as some of the more critical stuff I'm known for. Anyway, so we do have another issue of Hercules, Prince of Power, to cover. So let's just go right ahead and move along with our review.
Hercules, hero of song and story, Hercules, winner of ancient glory, fighting for the right, fighting with his might, with the strength of 10 ordinary men. Hercules, people are safe when near him. Hercules, only the evil fear him. Softness in his eyes, iron in his thighs, virtue in his heart, fire in every part of the mighty Hercules.
Fire in his thighs, indeed. And this week we are covering Hercules, Prince of Power, number 2. Cover date is October of 1982, retailed for 60 whopping cents. A Marvel Comics limited series, Hercules, Prince of Power. Cover art is by Bob Layton and shows our title hero here. Up against a wall, yeah, there's Ray is being shot at him, and we have a wanted poster. 100,000 credits, a reward for Liana, sweet something. And another sign says post no bills, and another sign that shows another character from the book that we haven't met yet. And Hercules is being shot at, and there's this other person with him who is the girl, Liana, who is actually on the wanted poster. And we open up to the splash page where, of course, we get a little bit of a recap here of what went on in the issue before. And so we have a little poem here from Bob Layton. A god named Hercules climbed Mount Olympus to visit his father dear. Once there, he did bad and made Zeus real mad. Herc's punishment will be severe. My son, I shall banish from this galaxy, vanish till humility thou hast found. In space did Herc meet the Rigellian fleet, for new worlds the domeheads were bound. They gave him a recorder, a robot in order, his exile he could document. So they hitched up their steeds and took off at light speeds. Towards adventure the two of them went. And we get the credits here. Bob Layton was the author, the layouts, and finished art. Luke McDonald was the art assistant, not sure what that means. Mark Grunewald was the editor, Rick Parker was the letterer, Christy Scheel was the colorist, and Jim Shooter is the galactic conscience, apparently. And we open up with the recorder and Hercules in space on their journeys, and we have them pulling up next to a spaceship in their chariot with the two horses. And Hercules shouts, "Ho, braggarts! Soon thou shalt know the meaning of defeat. None may match the swiftness of my magical steed." So they're drag racing in space. "Mayhap yon pilots will think twice before wagering on a race against the son of Zeus." And they're obviously far ahead of their opponent at this point. The recorder says, "Statement, we shall reach the outer planetary marker in 14.07 seconds. "Then the victory shall be ours, friend recorder. It seems that thy calculations are correct. At sublight speed, we are truly the better." And we cut to the inside of the alien ship. Let's see.
"Okay, Clyde. We've given that void sucker enough of a lead. Let's blow him out of the quadrant."
"Good thing his cybernetic pal didn't know we've modified our ship with a T-47 afterburner. All I gotta do is hit the hidden switch, and he can eat hot ion vapors, steroid breath."
And they go whooshing past Hercules and the recorder. And yeah, that's pretty much lost the race there. And Hercules is like,
"Lost? Recorder, thou didst assure me we would win."
"Statement, I am at a loss to explain, sir. A number of factors may have contributed to our defeat. Design variation, gravitational flux, luck."
"Recorder, still thy tongue, or whatever there is in thy mouth."
And they go swooping down into the atmosphere of a planet that they're above. And we have a futuristic city, much in the same vein as we did last time. Though this one is a kind of a cooler-looking futuristic city.
"Port Antares, majestic capital of the planet Willamine." Soon after landing at the spaceport, and they're just hanging around here, we see the chariot and the horses in the spaceport along with other ships and stuff.
"All right, Muscles. We won, and your 10,000 credits poorer for it. Fork it over."
"I would, if any credits were in my possession."
"What? How can you make a bet without any money to back it up?"
"Who could have imagined that the Prince of Power would lose? Still, my word is my bond. Thou shalt have thy credits. So swears Hercules."
"Not good enough, Vadlak. But I'll tell you what. Alpo and I will hold on to your chariot as collateral until you come up with the cash. Deal?"
Oh, nothing can go wrong there.
"It seems I have little choice. But take heed, my steeds are mighty and fierce of mien. Handle them with great care, and know thou this, they will not allow the golden sun chariot to be tampered with."
And the recorder and Hercules go wandering off.
"I gotta hand it to you, Clyde. If there's a sucker within 10 parsecs, you'll find a way to fleece him." "Say, Alpo, did he say that chariot was gold?"
And we cut back to the recorder and Hercules.
"Interrogative. How are we going to obtain 10,000 credits? All we have is my Rigellian charge account."
"Fear not. The Prince of Power hath a plan. Observe yon poster I spied earlier. 'Tis my intention to rescue that poor lass from her kidnappers
And we have the, it's not quite the same poster that we saw on the cover, but it says, Kidnapped, 10,000 C reward for the rescue and safe return of Leanna Sweetwater. Observation, the fine print states that four attempts to breach the Pirates' Island Fortress have already met with defeat.
Ah, but they have not dealt with the cunning and subtlety of Hercules. Listen closely to my plan.
And we see the plan is unfolding as he's describing it here. So we have there's an island in the middle of nowhere, and there's various pirates and ships and things about.
First, we shall obtain a flying vehicle with thy charge account. Then we shall fly to the kidnapper's stronghold, staying beneath the range of their detection devices. When we are close enough, the Lion of Olympus shall swim ashore, while the dastardly pirates go about their foul business oblivious to my approach. Then at the appropriate moment, I shall create a slight diversion.
And we see Hercules bursting through the wall with a key rash, as of course he promised, creating a slight diversion. And we see on the next page, he's tossing these pirates all around. And while he's doing that, we have the recorder sneaking into their headquarters. And we have more of Hercules' narration here.
While I engage the blackguard's attention, thou hast thine own task to perform. Thou must stealthily make thy way through the breach in the citadel, taking care to avoid the notice of yon varlets. Then thou must seek out the detention area. Then, my friend, locate thou the cell chamber of Leanna Sweetwater. Once thou hast freed the maiden, exit the way thou didst enter. Dost thou understand thy instructions, recorder?
Statement, of course, sir. My comprehension of your plan is perfect. However, it will never work. Something will go wrong.
We actually see the recorder as Hercules is narrating all of this, kind of the same way we did on the prior page. This is actually what's happening on the page. So we have the recorder. He's sneaking in the crack in the wall while all the fighting is going on. He sneaks his way to the cell. And as he's sneaking out with Leanna Sweetwater, they are discovered by a robot. And there was a robot says,
Surrender or die, human.
And recorder is, Statement, I knew it. And Hercules is like,
Recorder, get the girl to our ship.
And this robot, who's called apparently Bemac, is going to face off against Hercules in a fight.
Bemac's function is to defend against all intruders. Bemac is invincible.
And Hercules just stands there. He's like,
ha, ha, ha. What interesting toys these mortals create. This one hath an ego to rival Ares, the god of war. But while Ares is headstrong, obviously thou art not.
And as the robot approaches Hercules, he just reaches out casually and grabs his head and destroys the robot's head with a squawk.
Perhaps thou canst perform one final service, Bemac. Observe yonder spacecraft.
And during this time, we have Bemac is like the Black Knight in Monty Python. It's the exact same gag.
You cannot defeat Bemac. Thou canst ensure that Hercules shall not be pursued.
And he takes the robot's head and he throws it hard enough. It just smashes through all of the ships that are here in the landing bay. And Bemac is continuing to speak.
Bemac is unconquerable!
And Hercules is like, Verily, 'twas a silly robot. And Hercules starts heading for their spaceship.
Ho, my metallic friend! Thou hast done well this day. Let us be off before my foes recover their senses and retaliate.
And they go, starting to sail off. Hercules leaps aboard the ship, and the recorder and the girl are on board. And the pirates are firing their guns, very Star Wars-y. And there's a lot of about this at Star Wars we'll talk about. Observation, the kidnappers are firing upon us. I estimate that we have 10.07 seconds before we are out of range. And as he says that, there's a blast that goes, pachow, and it takes off the recorder's right hand. Goes flying off, and the recorder's like, Observation, I think we are going to need more money, sir. And Hercules is thinking to himself,
Ah, well, as Dionysus hath often saith, thou winnest a few and thou loseth a few.
And we see the girl is all snuggled up against Hercules, like, oh, my hero. And then we get a scene shifting back to the spaceport where, if you remember, Hercules and the recorder left the chariot and the horses in charge of Alpo and his friend.
Alpo, aren't you finished unhitching those horses yet? I want to fence that chariot tonight. Huh? Alpo?
And Alpo is coming in. He's obviously very chewed upon.
We got to get away, Clyde, quick.
Quit fooling around, Alpo. We can sell that thing for 10 times the credits that Big Claude owes us. Now get back in there and...
Just help me shut the doors, Clyde. They're devils, I tell you.
What are you talking about? Yow!
And you see the fiery face of one of the horses at the door snorting with a... So, yeah, the horses can take care of themselves. And we then shift scenes, and we are at the headquarters of the Fort Ontario Police Department. And Hercules is dismayed to find out...
What dost thou mean? No reward?
Well, you see, Mr. Hercules, Miss Sweetwater's father is a very important member of the Administrative Council of this city. When our attempts to rescue her failed, we offered the 10,000 credit reward. That satisfied her father for the moment, but to be quite honest, we really don't have that kind of money in our budget. Actually, we didn't think anyone could rescue her.
'Twas but a ruse! To calm a politician's anger?
Something like that. Now, if you'll just hand over the girl, we'll see she is returned to...
Nay, Officer Jweb, the girl is in my charge until thou dost fulfill thine end of the bargain.
And the girl's like, that's fine by me. I hope they never come up with the money.
You can't just walk out of here with her.
And why not? I had no problem taking the girl from the pirate's stronghold.
Oh, yeah, that's true, isn't it?
And Hercules and the girl will go wandering off, arm in arm.
Some days 'twould seem thou winnest a few and loseth many.
And Hercules and the girl arrive later at the Utik Cybernaut and Home Appliance Repair Shop, where the repair guy is trying to find a new hand to put on the recorder. And we get a little humorous scene here.
Hail, Tinker! How goes thy repair work?
Dad blasted circuitry. I ain't never fooled with one of these Regellian two-leggers before. And I can guarantee I ain't gonna find no Regellian replacement parts around here. How's about this one? Belongs to an SK2 dental abscess extraction unit in this weird, like, wishbone-looking thing with a big, looks like a big drill on it.
I think not, says Hercules, and the recorder's a statement. Thank you.
Got this arm unit to a PXG Managa fruit pit sucking droid?
Interesting, but no.
And that's this kind of weird sucker-fingered thing. Statement. Bless your stars, sir.
Last one's this Q76 baggage handler. What you say?
And it's this kind of blue, small blue hand with two fingers and a thumb.
I suppose it doth suffice. You mayest proceed.
Statement. Oh, well. And they guess he installs the new hand on the recorder. And it says, soon after, another bill is added to the recorder's charge account. Interrogative, baggage handler.
Now that thine appearance hath been restored, methinks I should find more suitable raiment for myself, eh?
Good idea, love. Perhaps something in a basic black.
And we cut to, apparently, a tailor's shop. And Hercules has gotten himself a new costume. Yeah, and we've seen this costume on the cover. And this is like it's red and black, and he's got thigh boots. And yeah, it's a change from what he's wearing. But I actually think it's a really good looking costume myself. And Hercules is, you know, looking good in his new costume. And he hands over his old one to the tailor.
Now, tailor, if you could mend my battle suit.
And the tailor's thinking to himself,
orange and green, how tacky. Will this be cash or charge, sir?
Interrogative, let me guess. Charge?
Verily,
says Hercules. And so they leave the suit with the tailor and they leave.
Thou shalt be safe in the quarters of Hercules, Leanna. There you may rest after thy long ordeal.
With someone like you around, who wants to rest, sweetheart?
Says Hercules.
Statement, this is the accommodation I obtained earlier, sir. I hope it meets with your approval. And they're like in a cheap hotel or something. Interrogative, shall we proceed inside?
Not we, recorder. The Prince of Power has matters to attend to in private. Wait the outside until thou art summoned. Understood?
Observation, but, sir, my function is to record your every activity. I...
Not this activity, my friend.
And he slams the door in the recorder's face with a slam. The recorder's having kind of a crisis of functionality here.
Observation, I cannot disobey programming. My primary function states that I must observe and record.
Speculation, perhaps by losing one of these crates, I may be able to view what is... And he's kind of stacking up boxes to try to look through, like, this, like, jealousy window above the door. Because, you know, these space hotels are very much like Earth hotels. And the recorder's looking through the window, and it's an observation, most intriguing, self-interrogative. Is this what humanoid species call romance? Their interaction is quite similar to the antler dance ritual on Sirius 4! And the recorder falls down from the window. And it wasn't so much falling down. He got dragged down by a couple of police officers.
Well, what do we have here, Maxie? Looks like we caught us one of those peeping cybers, Rojan.
Statement. Officers, you are quite mistaken.
Sure we are, Tin Puss. Let's go tell it to the judge, buddy.
Declaration. I was merely executing my primary program.
Yeah, and your master mold has hair in it too. Come on.
And they haul the recorder away. And we shift to back into the room, and obviously Hercules has been showing off the iron in his thighs, and the two of them are just kind of laying on the bed, and Hercules just kind of is like a washcloth on his groin.
Hercules, I love you. I want to stay with you always, says Leanna. I wish to constantly be at your side. Our love shall light the heavens.
Alas, as much as I may desire such blissful union with thee, milady, it cannot be.
And we get a little bit of recap here of Hercules telling a story from the past. And it's, of course, all illustrated as well.
Pray thee listen to a tale of love, to cure one of loving. Many centuries ago on the planet Earth, I lost my heart to a mortal woman, a magnificent queen whose realm was besieged by would-be conquerors. Alone and undated, Hercules did lay waste to the invaders. So grateful and smitten with love for me was she, that she offered to let me rule by her side. So much in love was I that I accepted. Her beauty was matched only by her wisdom as ruler, and so her people prospered for many years. Then one fateful day my father Zeus summoned me to return to Olympus. Reluctantly I obeyed, and there I remained, performing my filial duties for what seemed a short time. Upon my return to Earth to the woman I loved, I learned a lesson most painful. There my queen lay withered with age, slipping into death's embrace. For what I perceived as the merest blink of an eye was in fact the passing of half a century. Such is the nature of time for one who is truly immortal.
And of course, yeah, we have this whole sad story beautifully illustrated here.
Do you not see, Leanna? I swore that day never to lose my heart to a mortal again. I dare not.
Oh, Hercules, such a sad story.
And Hercules is thinking to himself,
sad, yes. Thank Zeus it isn't true. Therefore, Leanna, I must return thee to thy father as soon as the reward is paid.
But my love, I was fleeing from my father when I was kidnapped. You see, in this city dwells the wealthy and ruthless Count Iguanus. He is one of the Genku, a race of lizard men.
They actually look a bit like the Badoon from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Count Iguanus coveted me and struck a clandestine agreement with my father for my hand in marriage in exchange for a small fortune. Never would I marry such a horrid, unattractive creature, so rather than giving myself up to him, I stowed aboard a transport ship bound for the outer planets.
And it shows her running away and getting on a ship, which looks somewhat like a Star Trek shuttlecraft.
No sooner than the ill-fated ship left the atmosphere than it was hijacked, and thus I fell into the hands of the pirates. Things had gone from bad to worse. I all but lost hope. And then you came along, my beloved.
And you see she's crying tears of joy, and Hercules just looks alarmed.
I beg you, don't make me go back to my evil father, and Iguanus. Please, slay me instead.
There, there, little one. Thou art safe at my side, where thou shalt remain.
Oh, good.
And suddenly there's a knock on the door, and Hercules is like, get into thine street garb. I shall attend to this. And Hercules answers the door.
Recorder, I did command thee to...
And it's not the recorder, it's actually the police officers who look a lot like Star Wars stormtroopers.
That's the one. He is the one.
And we see standing in front of this little group of policemen is Count Iguanus.
Sir, I am Count Iguanus of the Genku. I have come to claim my betrothed, Leanna. Will you do me the honorable thing and surrender her to me?
Speak not to me of honor, Iguanus. Is there any honor in false rewards or the bartering of flesh? Nay, the girl stays until what is mine, and freedom is hers.
If you do not surrender her, we shall take her by force. What do you say to that?
What else, save, have at thee! And Hercules leaps forward and knocks down a bunch of the police.
Quickly, men, stun him!
Hercules just kind of grabs the whole pile of people and throws them against a wall.
Flee, Leanna, I shall catch up with thee!
And they go running off.
It will take them a few seconds to recover. In the meantime, we must make good your escape.
And they hurry down through the alleys, and we see that the police are chasing them on these kind of hover things. This is very Legion of Superheroes looking architecture, and very Legion of Superheroes looking like hovercraft.
Hurriedly, they traverse the man-made avenues, rushing through crowds of puzzled onlookers. Meanwhile, directly above the fleeing pair, and we see the hover people here.
There they are, men. Set your weapons on stun and open fire, says Lord Iguanus.
And so they're shooting all the rays, and it looks like they're hitting Hercules, but it's not having any effect.
Leanna, stand back. The time for escape hath passed. If the Count wishes to test the mettle of the Prince of Power, I shall be happy to oblige.
And he rips up a street light, because I can describe it as nothing other than a street light. And he throws it at the hovercraft that Lord Iguanus is on and destroys it with a carriche. They're still shooting at him.
You can't hold them off forever. What are we going to do?
Fight on, woman, if necessary, to the death.
And we cut to jail, where the recorder is sitting in a cell. And it's a very 1950s Western type of cell with bars and like this weird cot. And the recorder's sitting on this cot. There's another prisoner on there as well. It's kind of this guy with long hair.
Miles away in the Port Antares Detention Center.
So, what you in for, Alloy Lips, says the long-haired guy.
Statement, I am not quite sure, sir. To be honest, I am puzzled as to what I did wrong.
What you need is something to clear your head, buddy. Why don't you try a little of this audio tootski I smuggled in with me? It'll fix you right up.
And he's holding up this kind of earplug inhaler-looking thing.
Deduction. Audio tootski is a colloquial term for hallucinogenic stimulants ingested, like so.
And he picks the thing up and he sticks it in his ear, and it toots.
Hey, not all of it. That's my whole stash.
Analysis. Audio tootski is a narco-euphoric producing cerebral dysfunctions in humanoids. Conclusion, you should not be putting this in your body, sir.
My whole stash.
And we cut back to Hercules out of the street.
Hercules, it's a dead end.
That is time for a showdown. Iguanus, have you the courage to confront me man to man?
And Iguanus is there, and he says, I don't see the need, Outworlder. The girl is mine. We are to be wed, don't you see?
Nay, the woman has a right to choose whom she shall wed. So if thou dost refuse to come down and face me, then Hercules shall bring the gift of combat to thee.
And he throws the police out of the way that are guarding Iguanus, and he swacks at Iguanus, knocks him down, and the two of them fall to the street, and they crash with a kerhlump.
Renounce thine illicit purchase of the girl, and the Lion of Olympus will spare thee, says Hercules.
And Hercules is definitely getting the better of him here. And Iguanus is like,
what are you saying? I did not purchase her. Leanna betrothed herself to me of her own free will.
And Hercules is like,
sayest what?
And Hercules turns to Leanna.
Leanna, does Iguanus speak the truth?
Well, yeah. Iggy and I were sweethearts. And yes, we decided we'd be married. As a matter of fact, I was actually on my way to our wedding when I was kidnapped. But today, when I met you, Hercules, well, I wanted you more. So I made up all that stuff about Daddy selling me so you'd keep me. And,
Hercules is helping Iguanus up, and he says,
I see. Rise, Count. The Prince of Power doth owe thee an apology.
I'm not quite sure I understand.
It seems I have been misinformed about thee. Thou art indeed honorable. Take her, Iguanus. The girl is yours. If you still want her.
Yes, yes, I suppose it seems strange to you, mighty one. But strange are the ways of love.
Indeed. I do bid thee farewell, friend.
And Iguanus turns around. He's like, wait,
Regardless of what else happened, there remains the matter of my indebtedness to you for Liliana's rescue. And he has like a little bag of money. He chucks it over to Hercules with a clink. And so Hercules says he's got the money. And we cut to the hospital here. Another scene change where we have Hercules and the recorder, and they're in the hospital along with Clyde and Alpo. Remember the ones that got mauled by the horses? And they're talking to Hercules here. It's like,
you'll see what those blasted animals of yours did to us. We're going to be in body cast and anti-gravity traction for 6 months.
My sympathy, gentlemen. But to brighten thy spirits, Hercules is prepared to honor his debt and take the beasts off thy hands. By the way, I had my faithful recorder examine thy ship. He did find, of all things, a concealed afterburner. 'Twas not very sporting of thee.
Big deal. You still owe us.
True. And you'll be pleased to know that I have tendered the 10,000 credits to the hospital's officials on thy behalf. 'Twill cover all of thy expenses exactly. And so, my friends, we part as we met, though perhaps ye be somewhat worse for wear.
And Hercules and the recorder go strolling off, and we have the sad trombone. Next issue, Whom the God Would Destroy. And that is Hercules, Prince of Power, #2. And of course, we will have a few things to say about this issue, as we always do. But first, we have a quick message.
The Fantastic Arts is your guide to the Fantastic Four from the beginning of the Marvel Age of Comics in 1961 onwards.
Each week, Steve Lacy and Andy Leyland cover every issue, spin-off, guest appearance and cameo, and more.
And in 2015, we begin our journey through the decade that tastes forgot, the 1970s.
Join us as we take a look at
the departure of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee,
the Kree-Skrull War,
the arrival of Marvel Team-Up,
Bill Murray as the Human Torch,
creators including Roy Thomas, George Perez, Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway, Rich Buckler and John Byrne,
and of course, Marvel 2-in-1.
All this and more at ffcast.libsyn.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
The Fantastic Cast.
Insert catchy tagline here. Wait, what?
And we are back. And of course, we do have a few things to say about the issue, as we always do. So I like this issue, I really do, as I like the entire series. Now, one of the interesting things about this limited series, when you compare it to some other limited series that are out there, particularly the limited series back during this era, and that is that it's not one long, complete story, really. It's an episodic structure, so you actually have very self-contained issues. Like the first issue completely stood on its own. This one completely stand on its own. The only similarity they have is in the setting and so forth. And that's an interesting choice for a miniseries at this period in time. If you think about it, in 1982, really the limited series that were available were things like, the Contest of Champions, which is all one story. And this is obviously some sort of backdoor pilot for a Hercules ongoing, which never happened, obviously. But it's obviously sold well enough that they gave it another limited series that, of course, we have that and we'll be covering that eventually. And, it was a long time before Hercules actually had his own series. So this is very, very early on. I can't really stress enough that, it seems a bit more hackneyed now than it did back then. I think that back then the humor was a lot fresher. The comedy was a lot fresher. It was kind of the first time that we'd really had this kind of a thing. And we had these sort of O. Henry type endings before in comics. And here we have them again. And of course they're played for humorous effect. Nowadays it doesn't seem completely original, but back then it seemed a lot more original because it was the first time we saw a superhero comic in that vein. It wasn't really something that had been tried before, and I think Bob Layton deserves a lot of credit for pretty much revolutionizing that kind of storytelling. And of course, this had repercussions throughout the Marvel line. And suddenly people realized, yeah, we can do a funny superhero comic and it'll work. You know, as long as you have the, you know, the right take on it, I think that, you know, it's something that can really be popular and can really be extraordinary. Now, it seems a little bit dated today, but I think that's just because other people have had similar kinds of things. I think after this point, you really had the funny superhero thing exemplified in the Bwahaha Justice League series. And maybe at that point, people started to really, really get sick of it. But I think that at this point, Bob Layton was really onto something. And I would even point out that Bob Layton had an impact on the Thor comics that we've covered, because if you think about it, this gag that we have here with Apollo's horses was actually played by Simonson during his run with Thor's goats. So, yeah, that didn't come out of thin air. I mean, that obviously was predated by this series by a number of years. The artwork uniformly really, really good. You can see that there were some parts of the art that weren't quite as detailed as others. There are some pages that are a little bit sparse on backgrounds and that kind of thing. Obviously, there was some kind of a crunch that they needed for somebody to come in and do an assist on the art. And you can see in a few places where the faces and things look a bit off model. They don't look as though they're drawn in the style of Bob Layton. And I'm guessing that these are the parts where the art assist came in because they're, I don't know if there was an editorial issue or they had to redo some of the structure, which, you know, which required a little bit of extra page or whatever. But you can definitely see that there's some weakness in the art here and there in this issue, as opposed to last issue, because I think last issue was pretty much picture perfect. No pun intended. Just kidding. When I say it, the pun is always intended. Anyway, and the story, you know, I mean, it's a good solid piece of work. It's nothing special, but, you know, it's your standard misunderstanding done in a humorous fashion. You know, it's this, your typical Marvel, I'm going to fight you and then we're going to team up because I realize you're not the villain after all. You know, yeah, it's the old Stan Lee trope. And it's done in a, for 1982, a pretty refreshing way. All right, so with that, it is about time to wrap up the show. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And of course, don't forget, you can email the show at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. We also have 4 episodes from now, we have the Lee Kirby retrospective. If you have anything to contribute to that, you can email that to us. You can send us a voice file. You can send us an email. You can write to me on Facebook. You can send Morse code, but I won't be able to understand the Morse code because I don't understand it. Anyway, and with that, we are back over the Rainbow Bridge. Well, not really. We're not over the Rainbow Bridge, are we? We're back to Earth in our chariot o' the sun with cannibalistic horses. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.